Standing here a moment ago and looking at you, I thought, what a dynamic class this is. And I wasn't thinking about the material that I'm working with to share with you this evening. I mean this class. Those of you who are here with me in person, and really two groups of you, one this afternoon and you who are here with me this evening, and then another class who will be hearing my voice on cassette tapes. Now, let me describe these two different groups to each other. And to those of you who will be listening on cassette tapes, the class that is here, these two groups, afternoon and evening, are composed of about 500 enthusiastic, bright, excited, action-minded, glorious, gorgeous, beautiful, dynamic truth students. Did that describe you fairly well? Success-oriented men and women of all ages who are making these ideas work, who have taken these ideas and given them life. Now, to those of you who are here with me, perhaps you will be surprised to learn that there's only one difference in the cassette audience and the group of you who are here, and that is that that audience is much larger than the one that is here. There are many more of them than there are of us gathered here today. But they're just like you. And many of them listening will be sharing in small class groups, but most of them will be individuals who will have purchased these tapes because their hearts desire to make the same demonstration that you are actually making in your life. And I wanted us to give our attention to our cassette audience for a moment so that you could become aware of them, that person that's listening to this cassette lesson right now needs to know that you are very supportive of what they're doing, that you really wish them the very best. And you do, don't you? Yeah. You really do. Have you enjoyed the process of letting your mind reveal to you all of the exciting things that it wishes to demonstrate for you? Goal setting is fun. It really is a joy, but goal achieving is even more fun. That's where the action is. And more than just the action, the reward of a changed life. Two of you who are here this evening brought to me almost identical notebooks that you put together separately, notebooks in which you have categorized your goals, and you can go through and look at your goals in each category. And I'm offering this to the rest of you as a suggestion, those of you who might want to put your goals, the outlines, the statements that you're making, so that on a daily basis you can not be too far away in consciousness from your goals. You can pick up your notebook and review exactly where you are, keeping your goals before your mind. Now that you have set some goals, what have you actually done about them? And for most of us, probably the answer would be not much. We've been waiting for something to happen. Well, something might not happen. Let's make it happen. Let's make our goals happen. First, I'm going to ask you to remember that many of your goals are really new attempts to overcome the condition or fact of not achieving the desired end. And that is the definition of failure in my dictionary. Your goals have been set as the result of previous failures that you have experienced, right? The lack of success that you've demonstrated in the past, and there's nothing wrong with that. Some years ago, a football coach gave this advice on how to deal with failure. He said, when you're about to be run out of town, get out in front and make it look like you're leading a parade. (Laughter) In other words, go into action. Let a winner lead the way. As a matter of fact, let a former loser lead the way. I like to follow former losers. Show me a former loser, and I'll show you somebody that will never quit moving. Like old Satchel Paige, they don't want to look back because something might be gaining on them. And they want to keep going in the direction that they know their success and prosperity lies. Nothing restrains goal setters more than the knowledge that they will have to carry out their plans. When you and I start setting goals, even while we're setting them, there's something inside that says, oops, you mean I'm going to have to do something about that? That's going to require very definite changes. I'm not quite so certain. Well, the title and the subject of this lesson, therefore, is Into Action. Into Action. Act, in my dictionary, is defined as the process of doing or performing something. To actuate, to motivate, to carry out an action, to operate or function in a specific way. Now, you've been told in the past that if you do not have a certain quality, act as though you do, and in time you will. Right? And you know it's true. It works in both ways. It works in the negative way, it works in the positive way. Act as though you have it, and you will. Especially if you put the feeling of that particular experience with the act, in a very short time, you will become the actor. All of life is a stage, and we are actors upon it. Now, action is somewhat different than act, because action is the choice when process or function are stressed and when performance is complex or long range. Action is a choice that we make. And it is a movement that we go into, because action means the state or process of acting or doing. A movement or a series of movements, the transmission of energy, force, or influence. If you would like to have an experience upon this earth, the idea that precedes that experience must be transformed into an act or an action. The energy that sustains and supports all of life, and consequently you, must be transmitted or transformed. It must become influential in a sphere of activity. So therefore, nothing that you desire upon this earth can happen to you unless you go into action to begin to act out the role that you have assigned yourself by virtue of the choices that your mind has made. Oh, how I resisted this when I was an early student of metaphysics. I wanted to take myself apart and sit in the lotus position. There was something in me, and I suspect that you will understand it when I report it to you, that went about like this. I would like to see a thing in my mind, to meditate upon it, to call it forth with my eyes closed, and then open one eye, carefully peeking out, to behold it there before me without any other action on my part. Oh, how I loved metaphysics when I thought that's the way it really was. And one night it came to me, the voice spoke to me clearly and said, Jack, I have news for you. You must go into action, because I cannot do anything for you, only through you, only as you, and only as you begin to become and then act out. Go into action. A problem, said Henry Kaiser, is only an opportunity in work clothes. People who face their problems, who try hard to solve them, will seldom fail. Often they will reap benefits they had no way of foreseeing. And I mention this quotation by Henry Kaiser because most of us are here tonight by virtue of having been motivated to come by our problems. It was not our performances of excellence that brought us here. It was because we, for the most part, you may probably be the exception. Just weren't doing all that well. And they wanted to find a better way. Years ago, two brothers, Thaddeus and Erastus Fairbanks, were running a small hemp business. And their biggest difficulty was in trying to weigh this hemp in with the crude and inaccurate scales of that day. They had these huge bundles of hemp and small scales, and the hemp kept falling off. And finally, one of the brothers constructed a platform that focused the weight on the scale that was in the center. And it was a better way to do it. And they were able to weigh their hemp with a semblance of accuracy. And what happened then became a complete surprise. Many of their customers wanted to buy their scales more than they wanted to buy their hemp. And at first they were shocked. And as a favor to these customers, the two men made more scales. Soon the demand for scales became so great that they gave up the hemp business. You've seen their names on scales since you were a child, Fairbanks. The success of their enterprise grew out of a problem. And seeking to find a solution to a problem. Show me a problem and I will show you an opportunity in work clothes. I will show you a place that you can go into action and reap the most amazing results. But sit and look at the problem, opening your eyes occasionally to see if the answer has arrived yet, will probably not produce very much. People who dream impossible dreams and strive to achieve them raise the stature of all of us a fraction of an inch in the process, whether they win or lose. You, when you are solving your problems because you have come to believe in dynamic solutions, spiritual solutions, as you go into action in your life, you are enhancing, reinforcing mine and every other person who lives upon this earth. Now, to strive to achieve our dreams is the key. You see, the world is full of dreamers, but there is a shortage of strivers. Dreamers are not achievers, per se. I was a dreamer, and I dreamed dreams that then became fantasies because I tried to go off and live in my dreams. I did not know about making my dreams come true as living experiences. And so I sought to escape my life to live in my dreams. That's fantasy. That is the wrong use of the imagination. Dreamers who strive are achievers, or strivers who dream are achievers. Andrew Carnegie was such a person. He came to this country as an immigrant, uneducated, and his first job was as a bobbin boy in a cotton mill for a few pennies a day. And from there he went on to build a multi-million dollar steel empire, but his influence went far beyond the steel industry and has touched your life and mine, whether you are aware of it or not. Carnegie believed that his tremendous success was achieved because he was always ready, willing, and eager to share it with the people who worked for him. But remember last class, we talked about the mastermind principle and the fact that we simply cannot achieve our goals by ourselves. And Carnegie knew this, and he brought key people into his life and practiced the mastermind principle, but he always rewarded them in every conceivable way, and certainly as far as recognition was concerned. And on his tombstone was inscribed the following epitaph: "Here lies a man who enlisted in his service better men than himself." As you and I move forward now into the demonstration, the achievement of our goals. Let's not lose sight of the fact that we will not achieve those goals by ourselves alone. This will be difficult to remember. We will need to have surrounded ourselves with the right people and also to be aware of that infinite, invisible, but ever-present Spirit of God that is the source of all energy and of all power. And Carnegie was a man who understood and who practiced these great principles. One test of the emotionally mature person is that even though they are intensely occupied with their own problems, they still remember that their associates have problems too. So as you move forward into achieving your goals, do not lose sight of the fact that you are a key person in the implementation, in the achievement of other persons' goals. There has to be this reciprocity, this sharing. Your energy, your wisdom, your insights, your love, your absolute certainty must be given so that you can receive an equivalent in return. And as you go into action, you will not be alone in your judgments of what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. A school principal received a telephone call one morning, and the voice said, "Tommy Jones won't be in school today." The principal said, "Who's speaking?" And the voice said, "This is my father." How many times have you and I tried to play hooky from life, from our responsibilities, from something that we had deemed to be unpleasant and thereby labeled as undesirable? And isn't this what kids in school have been doing? They seem to have a contest going eternally in which each of them is trying to outdo the other in saying, "I don't like school. I don't like it here. I hate my teacher and math and English and what else?" Well, life is a school, a very high school. I dreamed of quitting school when I was in high school. My dream became my goal, and I achieved my goal by becoming a high school dropout. Now, suppose I had dreamed of graduating with honors. So I had to go back to life, back to school, to learn the things that needed to be learned by me. But you and I are in school right now. And in your real life situation, it's a very important school. Are you dreaming of dropping out, of copping out? When you first awakened this morning, did the thought occur to you that I'll call the principal? I'll call God and say, "I don't want to be there. Count me out." Or even if I'm there, I'm not there. I'm not going to like it. I'm not going to enjoy this thing that I've got to do. You can't make me like it. Now, if I could just be in Southern California, I would like it. Oh, how you should see me in Southern California, not here. But life says to you, "Who's speaking? The little me or the great me?" The little me is always trying to escape its responsibilities. It is not a doer. It's a spectator in life. It's a griper, a complainer, and it already has figured out why things cannot work, except in Southern California. If you're going to become a world-class goal achiever, you cannot afford to merely let things happen. If you seek success, if you wish to demonstrate your goals, then you're going to have to make things happen. You're going to have to cause your goals to happen. Now, I did not tell you that until lesson 6. I wanted you to mature a bit along the way. But thank God it is that way. You have the power and the responsibility to make things happen. And it really is a a very simple process once you become willing to accept that process. And the process is this. Now, in our demonstration, the time has come for action. Suppose that, for example, one of your goals is to get a better job. You don't like the job you've got, and they can't make you like it. I'm not going to like it. I'm not going to enjoy this thing that I've got to do. You can't make me like it. Now, if I could just be in Southern California, I would like it. Oh, how you should see me in Southern California, not here. But life says to you, who's speaking? The little me or the great me? The little me is always trying to escape its responsibilities. It is not a doer. It's a spectator in life. It's a griper, a complainer, and it already has figured out why things cannot work, except in Southern California. If you're going to become a world-class goal achiever, you cannot afford to merely let things happen. If you seek success, if you wish to demonstrate your goals, then you're going to have to make things happen. You're going to have to cause your goals to happen. Now, I did not tell you that until lesson 6. I wanted you to mature a bit along the way. But thank God it is that way. You have the power and the responsibility to make things happen. And it really is a very simple process once you become willing to accept that process. And the process is this. Now, in our demonstration, the time has come for action. Suppose that, for example, one of your goals is to get a better job. You don't like the job you've got, and they can't make you like it. You just aren't going to like it. And you want a position that will allow you to express your many talents, and that will ultimately be a better channel for the world's goods to flow into your experience. Now, what is the first action that you take? To play hooky? To goof off? Or do you quit your present job? Because you know you're not going to work there very long. Is that what you do? Heavens, no. Absolutely not. The first action is to go into action. The first action is to go to work. The first action is to really go to work for the first time in weeks or months or years where you are. And to enjoy it because you have decided in advance that you're going to enjoy it because this is one of the last days you're going to be there. And then the next action is to bring your resume up to date so that it will describe the new you. There's a very beautiful lady that attends our afternoon class, and she has been looking for a job for several months. She left a job that did not exactly suit her. And she has had one opportunity, and that is exactly the job that she does not want. That job has all of, if she outlined the job that would displease her most, this is it. And I asked her if she had brought her resume up to date, and she said no. And so we made a deal. She's going to do a new resume and show it to me next week. And she became excited about this first action. If you're going to write something about yourself, make it good, accurate, but good. You're a fantastic person with all the possibilities that exist in you. So go into action to get ready if your goal is another job. Let me tell you a true story. It's about a person who's here tonight. I first saw her seated about there maybe 5 years ago, just like you, excited and turned on about the class at that particular time. One of the next times that I saw her was after returning from lunch one afternoon, And as I walked by the doorway there, I saw a person seated here on the second row with head bowed, and I felt that aura of depression. And I came forward to be with this beautiful lady. And among the things that she told me was that she had straightened up her household, especially the kitchen, so that after she committed suicide, everyone would know that she really was an orderly person. That is highly commendable, don't you think? She had quit her job because her employer did not really understand her, and it was not the best place for her to be working. Did not have another job for a period of time. Her finances, her bank account began to be diminished, and her life and her energy and her image, and you understand the experience. And we talked about going into action. She became willing to go into action. And she brought her resume up to date and began to lay out the various options that she had. And I suggested that she look in the newspapers every day, for example, for a job. And she said, well, the job that I want doesn't exist in the newspapers. And I said, how do you know? You haven't looked. And she looked, and she said, it still isn't there. I said, it doesn't make any difference. Keep looking, because that is an action. That is a possibility. Go to some quality employment agencies. Look and listen and keep your eyes and your mind open. And whenever an opportunity to seek employment arises, go to that place, even if you do not believe it's what you want. Go into action. Because you may not find it from the newspaper advertisement, from the employment agency, or from any of these places that you look, but you will find it because it will find you. You cannot miss it. If you go into action, you will be lost along the way. You will not be able to find your way one day. You will end up at the wrong place, and it'll be the right place, because exactly there is where you will find your destiny. Do you believe it works that way? The universe responds to the quality of your action. It cannot reward you for your inaction. It cannot get excited about what you know, but only about what you do with what you know. Well, guess what? In short order, she had the best job she had ever had in her life. See, her first job was to find a job, going into action. And once she had a job, her job was to become the best personnel director that that corporation ever had. And she set out to do it and did it. Fantastic demonstration was made. To love it, to enjoy it, and to be a daily blessing to every person that was there. Now, this was a 180 degree reversal of the thinking that she had demonstrated in the past. And in time, she got a better offer because she continued to go into action. You'll never guess who I'm talking about. Karen Boland, my wife. I watched the fantastic activity of her life, and I still watch it. She daily goes into action. You would hardly believe it. It really works. On Sunday, a young man appeared upon the scene for the first time, and I was surprised to learn that he has been 28 years in government service. He is an executive at a high GS level. And I could hardly believe that he had been there so long because he was so young. But he doesn't like his work. And someone mentioned to him the possibility of making a change. He said, "Now, I suppose that you're going to tell me that I'm supposed to leave my job." And I said, "Quite the opposite. I'm going to tell you that I would urge you to go to work on your job. Like, really. You've only got 2 more years. Enjoy every exciting moment of it, so that when you leave it, you will leave from strength, with dignity, with power. And you will move out into the equivalent of the action that you demonstrate where you are. If you move from weakness, you move into weakness. If you move from inertia, you are carried forth into that same equivalent of lie. The quality of your action will determine the nature of your experience. Just by chance, on Monday morning, I received a letter from one of the Western states, from a beautiful man who has listened to our mastermind principle tapes, and he says they're wonderful, and he started a mastermind group with some other beautiful people. And he said, I have only one question to ask you. He's been working in government service for 23 years. He doesn't like his work. It is not too pleasant. I'm at the wrong place and with the wrong people. And he said, listening to your mastermind tapes, I wonder, can an ordinary person become rich simply by being in the mastermind? In other words, can I give up my job? Can I stop working and become rich? I don't like where I am. Can I just stop doing that and practice prayer and meditation and become rich? And you know what the answer is. In the first place, an ordinary person can't achieve anything. Can an ordinary person achieve anything? Only ordinary things. You must become an extraordinary person. Stop trying to be ordinary. There is nothing graceful or desirable about it, nothing acceptable about it, because you're an extraordinary being who must go into motion, into movement, so that you will draw to yourself the equivalent of yourself. You become an energy field, a magnet that draws to you that which you are. I understand how this man feels, because I felt that way. It's like, can I meditate and open my eyes, and will my answer be there? No, only through service. And what this beautiful man needs to do, and I'm going to send him this tape, is to go into action where he is, love where he is, begin to be a blessing to the people that are there. And in time, he will become rich. New channels of expression and of opportunity and of abundance will open to him as a reward for excellence, not for being ordinary, as a reward for action, as a reward for service. It really does work. Yesterday I received a call from a lady who has heard of us, and she has a problem in her marriage, and her goal is to find a solution to her marital problem. She's very sincere, unhappy, and desperate. And she wanted to know if I would talk to her husband and try to get him to change. So I talked to her about making some changes in her life, and she said she's afraid to. She's afraid that she will lose her marriage. And I said, you don't have a marriage. The relationship that you have described to me is a non-condition. How can you lose what you don't have? Have you noticed the inertia that overtakes our minds? And we want something to happen outside our own energy field that will make us comfortable and that will produce the desired result. And so we keep looking and saying, God, fix Ralph. Let me move to Southern California. I had a call from Southern California today from somebody that wanted to come to Michigan. True story. Let me tell you a true story that happened recently to one of my mastermind partners, a beautiful man, married for 20-some years, and he and his wife grew apart many years ago and continued to live together because of the children. And the children grew up and left home. And the non-marriage became quite visible and very, very debilitating. And he was looking for answers without change. And one day he came into my office following a mastermind meeting, and we talked about going into action. And I pointed out to him that he had three possible alternatives, and one was to live as he now was, and he said, that's unbearable. And I said, the other alternative is to fix it, and he said, she won't change. And I said, well, the other one is to leave it. He said, I can't bear it. I've had this wedding band on my finger for 20-some years. He walked out of my office and came back maybe an hour later and had sawed the wedding band off. He went into action. Can you imagine how difficult it was for him and how frightened he was at the consequences of his actions? He took the wedding band home and showed it to his wife. And she was shocked, stunned, startled. And she went into action. You see, as long as we accept an unacceptable condition, waiting for a moment yet to come, an event, a circumstance, an eclipse of the sun, this was only a few weeks ago. Wes knows the story. And this couple are so madly in love. He's got a new wedding band back on his finger, but he's got a new marriage because he went into action. Action. He took the action. Willing to experience the consequences of that action. My dreams are worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible. Sound depressing? All are of no value unless they are followed by action. I will act now, said Ogmandino in the scroll marked 9, and the greatest salesman in the world. Never has there been a map, however carefully executed to detail and scale, which carried its owner over even one inch of ground. Never has there been a parchment of law, however fair, which prevented one crime. Never has there been a scroll, even such as the one I hold, which earned so much as a penny or produced a single word of acclamation. Action alone is the tinder which ignites the map, the parchment, the scroll, my dreams, my plans, my goals, into a living force. Action is the food and drink which will nourish my success. Therefore, I will act now. Action is the opposite of procrastination. And to procrastinate in the Latin means to put forward until tomorrow. How many people do you know who have put their lives forward until tomorrow? It is not important that you know about them, but it is important that you see if you're one of these people, because one of the grossest sins that we commit is the invisible one of procrastination. It's invisible because it doesn't even exist. You just don't do it. You put it off. Tomorrow we will go into action, won't we? Of course not. When tomorrow arrives, it will be today. And today we don't really do anything because we put that off until tomorrow. If you would like to give up the anxiety and failure that accompany putting off things as a way of life, you must first see how bad, how devastating this has always been to your dreams, to your ideals, to your success. And it is the most widely scattered disease that lives among us. It is the one thing that every one of us has in common. And nothing new can happen until we give it up, because nothing new can happen until we begin to live in now moments, not tomorrow moments. A procrastinator is a non-doer. A non-doer becomes a critic. A critic is a spectator of things being done in other people's lives and an expert in how someone else should have done something. How they would have done it themselves if they did anything, but they don't. Until tomorrow. You see, critics are the bystanders that life is always waving to as it passes by. If you'll show me a critic, I'll show you a procrastinator. The person who goes into action does not have time or the energy nor the desire to criticize, to condemn, nor to judge. There are lots of ways to procrastinate, not get started. One of the busiest men that I've ever known is a procrastination specialist. He's always busy chasing down deals, talking about how much he had to do, and he'll drive halfway across town to have a cup of coffee with you to talk about all kinds of things. And almost every time I see him, he has something else for me to do, a hospital call for me to make. some new way of implementing something that I haven't implemented yet, and especially of someone for me to help who does not want my help or any other person's help. My friend has started a zillion projects, and I don't think he has ever finished one. Now, I'm not criticizing him because I love him dearly. I understand the inner tension that he lives in, the anxiety, the fear, the low self-esteem, the sense of impending doom, because he knows that his projects are never, ever going to be finished, to be completed, simply because he never begins them. How can you complete something that you don't start? Can't. He'll get started with his life right away, tomorrow, if it ever gets here. But it can't, because when it gets here, it'll be today. You can do anything that you set your mind to do. You have everything necessary to achieve your goals, whether you believe it or not. But only if you go into action. If you put things off until a future time, you are freezing yourself by setting into motion non-motion, which is inertia, which is defined in the dictionary as resistance to action or change or motion. Have you ever tried to push an automobile when it was stalled? And until you get it moving, you can hardly get it moving. But once you get it moving, then it begins to roll, doesn't it? It's easy. And so it is with you. It is the overcoming of inertia. And if you will look at every one of your goals, you will see there extended beyond them in a place that your mind can ascertain an action possibility that exists for you. And if you would demonstrate your goal into action, procrastination, which has held us all back, has been born of fear. And that fear can be conquered if you act without hesitation. If you will go into action, the lion of terror will be reduced to an ant of equanimity. I will act now. I will act now. I will awaken in the morning and I will say to myself, this is a day that I will go into action. If I face a closed door, I will continue in that action. If I am tempted to quit, I will begin again. I will go into action. Because only action determines my value. Only action precedes my success. Action is the determining factor of the achievement of my goals. There is a young man who attends these classes who recently wrote a poem. And after the class this afternoon, he sat down and wrote it out in longhand and gave it to me. It's called The Time Is Now. His name is Carl Lucas. I would like to share his poem with you. It's time to set another goal, to climb another rocky knoll, to live out another role. It's time to feed my hungry soul. It's time to think new thoughts again, to refrain from drinking too much gin, to avoid the mind-disrupting din. It's time to play at last to win. It's time to look ahead once more, to forget the long-lost days of yore, to open up another door. It's time to let the spirit soar. It's time to take a stand that's strong, to forget about what seems so wrong, to strive with others to get along. It's time to sing a happy song. It's time to scan the stars above, to scatter feed for a hungry dove, to reach and touch without a glove. It's time to remember how to love. It's time to sheathe the warrior's knife, to subdue the slightest sense of strife, to learn perhaps to play a fife. It's time to embrace the gift of life. This is the time. This is the place. I am the person. I will go into action. The achievement of every goal is within my grasp. My time has come. And so it is.